We've already seen these great truths from Jesus Christ that we're to pray in His name, and that obedience is love, that He gives us His peace. Without Him, we can do nothing. Of course, earlier in the time there in the upper room, there in chapter 13, He reminded us to serve one another and to love one another as He loved us. That chapter 14, He's preparing a place for us, hallelujah, a mansion in heaven, and that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He would send the Comforter, which He's done. But tonight, not only were we told there in chapter 14 that obedience is love and love is obedience, but tonight we find out that our friendship with Jesus Christ is also hinges on our obedience. So it's not just a way of saying I love you to Christ when we obey His commandments, but it's also a way to maintain an intimate friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ through obedience. So it makes obedience even that much more special and that much more important for us as God's children. So we'll start in verse 9 of John chapter 15, go down to verse 17. Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." So ye are my friends. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, the privilege to study it together this evening. Teach us great things and change us through its power. We give you this service. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you've already seen some of these great truths reiterated by the Savior in this passage about his love for us and the love that we're to have for one another, that we're to bear fruit and so forth. But the focus tonight is on friendship with our Creator, which, if you think about it, is pretty amazing that the holy, all-powerful, all-knowing God would be willing to be friends with us, wicked sinners. But again, that wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Calvary and the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us there. So he wants us to continue in his love there in verse 9. In verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." So again, he's reminding us that obedience and love go hand in hand. Remember John 14, 15. Very important verse. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So very important truth. And then again, the abiding thing there in verse 10. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Remember up in verse 7 of our chapter, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." So the importance of abiding in Christ and his word abiding in us. And then he reminds us in verse 12 that we're to love one another as he has loved us. So he has made a more powerful love than the Old Testament command to love our neighbors ourselves. Now we're to love one another as Christ has loved us, which he told us there in John 13. But here in chapter 15, verse 13, now he talks about friendship. And he starts by teaching us that he is the greatest friend. Amen? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." As Jesus hung on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was going to die for his friends. So we are, of course, his sheep, as we saw in chapter 10. And Jesus said he laid down his life for the sheep, but here he's saying that he laid down his life for his friends. You know, we're told in Proverbs 18, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we know that to be true in life, but I think it's also a prophecy about our Savior, that there's a friend in Jesus who sticks closer than a brother, and he died for us. And he's saying the ultimate display of friendship is dying for your friend, which Jesus did for us. And so now he's talking in verse 14. It says, ye are my friends. So he says, I am your friend because I died for you. I paid for your sins. I paid the price. When I died on that cross, it wasn't for my sin. Jesus says, I did it for you. I died for my friends. And he's saying, ye are my friends. So the friendship is reciprocal if, so there's an if word there. So that's very important for us to understand this evening. It says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So we saw in chapter 14 that we can say we love Christ all the time, but if we're living in disobedience, we are not loving Christ. Loving Christ is obeying Christ. They are synonymous. You cannot have one without the other. And what he's telling us is, it's the same with having friendship with Christ, that it comes down to obedience. So John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. But now he's saying that not only is that an expression of love when we obey, but it's also an expression of our friendship with Jesus Christ, who died for us. And of course, what should our motive for service be? But gratitude, right? Which he taught us in chapter 13 when he washed the disciples' feet. So Jesus is everyone's God. He is every saved person's Savior, but he's only some Christians' friends. Think about that. Our desire should be that he be all. Amen. Of course, he's everyone's God, but we would, and he's our Savior if we're born again, but we would hope and pray that we would be friends. But the friends are conditional. Remember, if you go to James 4:4, we're commanded not to be friends with the world. Let's turn over there, James chapter 4, verse 4. And you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of Jesus at the same time. How do we know this? Because he tells us if we're a friend of the world, we're actually God's enemy. So notice James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't be God's enemy and God's friend at the same time. So that's why Jesus says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so we're seeing that obedience for Christians is critical. It is the way we say I love you to God, and it is the way we maintain friendship with God. So back to our passage, verse 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. He's talking to his disciples there in the upper room. He says, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. So he's revealed to his disciples all these beautiful truths, and now he's revealing them to us through his word. And then he reminds them, verse 16, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you. And this is true, especially for the disciples. Remember, Jesus handpicked them and said, follow me. But it's true for you and I too. If you're born again tonight, Jesus chose you to be one of his disciples, to be one of his children. And if he's chosen us, verse 16, then he's also ordained us that we should go and what? Bring forth fruit. Remember in the beginning of the chapter, how many times he emphasized how important it was that we be a fruit-bearing Christian. He says, I have called you and I've ordained you. I've chosen you and I've ordained you. Now, in return, I want you to obey and be my friend, but I also want you to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And he especially mentioned that there in verse 8, didn't he? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So he says, I want you to be my friends through obedience. I want you to love me through obedience. And I want you to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Go to Colossians 1:10, and we'll see what Paul had to say about being a fruit-bearing Christian, or a fruitful Christian. Colossians 1:10, Paul said, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Look at the next phrase, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Jesus is making his will very clear for his disciples, isn't he? He wants us to be obedient and he wants us to be fruit bearing. But then he reminds us that not only is our friendship conditional on our obedience, but as we saw earlier, so is how effective our prayer life is conditional upon our obedience. Look at verse 16 again of our passage. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now we saw this earlier up in earlier in the chapter, but so our prayer life is dependent upon our obedience. Our friendship with Christ is dependent upon our obedience. And our love for the Lord is equal with our obedience, if you will. 1 John 3:22, we'll be reminded, turn there quickly, that our prayer lives are dependent, or the effectiveness of our prayer lives, I should say, is dependent upon our obedience. Just like our friendship is dependent upon our obedience, and just like our love for Christ is dependent upon our obedience. 1 John 3:22, look what he says. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And look at the rest of the verse. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's that word commandments again. Whatsoever we ask, whatsoever we pray, we'll receive. Why? Because we're obedient. Because we keep his commandments. So, obedience. We see how important it is for us as Christians that we obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful we did that study and we all have a copy of it now. And we can work on each one of those, allow the Holy Spirit to help us with the ones that we struggle with. But we know what his commandments are now. We have no excuse. We can't get to heaven and say, oh Lord, I didn't know what they were. We know what they are. And now we can say, by obeying them, Jesus, I love you. Now, by obeying them, we can say, Jesus is my friend. And now, by obeying them, we can say, I know that God is going to answer my prayers. Because I can ask whatsoever, because I keep his commandments. And then he finishes in verse 17 by reminding us that the most important commandment is loving. The most important commandment here on earth for one another is what? To love one another. He said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So we're to love others as he loved us. And this is, he says, one of the most important commandments that he's given us, is that we love one another. The Apostle Paul said that the entire law is wrapped up in the commandment to love one another. So Jesus says, ye are my friends. And he's saying it to us, if. So there's your key word in that verse, the word if. If ye do whatsoever I command you. I hope that it would be all of our desire to be Jesus' friend. Amen? He's our Savior. We're his child. But wouldn't it be great to know that he's our friend? And that we're his friend. But that, again, is dependent upon us. Because he says, you're my friends if. Obedience. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your